welcome to the Helping Families Be Happy podcast, where we explore the often messy world of family, love, and relationships. I'm your host for this podcast, Christopher Robbins, co-founder of Familius Publishing, husband, father of nine, author, fly fisherman, and backpacker based in the Central Valley of California. We hope to bring you nourishing, real-life information about love, family, relationships, and life. Today, I'm happy to introduce today's guest, Liz Swenson. Now, Liz is an author and illustrator of two survival guides for parents. You Got This Mama, From Boobs to Blowouts, a survival guide for new mothers, and Raising Tiny Humans, From Potty Training to Prejudice, a survival guide for the wild toddler years. She is a mom to three small children and is inspired by making the world more loving, beautiful, and inclusive. Her books are helpful, humorous, and endlessly supportive. Liz is passionate about helping parents achieve self-love, self-care, and empowerment. She is constantly pursuing new opportunities and projects that further that objective. Today, we're discussing raising toddlers. This podcast aligns with the Familius habit, learn together, love together, and play together. You can learn more about the Familius 10 Habits of Happy Families by going to the Habit Hub blog on Familius.com. For the video of this podcast, please go to the Familius YouTube channel. Well, Liz, welcome. Thank you again for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
And again, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
So let's just talk about, was there any maturation, any change of thought process that went into You Got This Mama to your new book, which is Raising Tiny Humans?
Yeah, they were both very different beasts. The first one happened so organically. It was a love note to my friend. It was a gift for my best friend for her new baby. And when I got pregnant, I read my little love note to her and thought, oh my God, all women should have this when they have a new baby. It's so I knew that I had put good information in there, but I didn't realize how loving and encouraging it was. So that was the spark for that one. And then for this one, it was a different spark. I was watching an Instagram live between Dr. Eliza Pressman and Jennifer Garner. And they were discussing how to talk to your kids about the Holocaust. And I was really interested because I was like, oh, how do you talk to your kids about the Holocaust? And they said, you don't. You teach them about dehumanizing language. And I thought, gosh, that's such an easy nugget. And no one gives you like a guidebook. No one says, okay, like you have this baby, but all of a sudden they're going to start having a personality. Then what do you do? So I wanted something from potty training to prejudice, the whole thing, just like a easy, digestible, helpful guide for parents.
Okay, well, that's interesting. You've launched right into probably a serious topic in your book. So let's open there. How do you teach dehumanizing language? Or what was the term you used?
Dehumanizing language, yeah. So that's what Dr. Eliza Pressman was saying. And it's actually, you see it a lot if you watch the news. Politics can use the language sometimes, like referring to a certain group of people as vermin or anything like that. So that's kind of a bigger thing. Like that's a thing that the Nazis did with the Jews. It's a thing that happened with the Hutus in Rwanda. But that's bigger. That's like, well, how does that apply to me? And there's actually really subtle ways that we dehumanize people with our language just every day. So if I was walking on the street with my kids and we saw a person sitting on the sidewalk with all their stuff, when your kids ask, like, what are they doing there? Instead of saying, oh, that's a homeless person, you could say that's a person that doesn't have a home right now. So it's really subtle little shift in humanizing a human to always just give a little bit of space between that person and their experience.
That's very helpful. So what I'm interpreting and understanding from this is when our language with our children should really make sure that we don't refer to other people as the other, that they are part of our human family. And
exactly.
We change our language in such a way that they are included rather than excluded.
Yeah. And I mean, you can do this. This is something that constantly happens with my own kids. I'll come home and be like, Susie was being so mean. Like, she's a mean person. And I go, oh, no. Maybe like what happened, maybe that's a mean thing that she did, but she's not a mean person. So just a little separation, and a thing that I talk about in the book and something I do with my kids all the time is talk about how hurt people hurt people. When someone's acting out in that way and like doing something really mean or aggressive, often they're a person that's really hurting inside. And that's a conversation we have all the time.
So you want to separate behavior from the person. Now, can toddlers understand this concept?
I think so. I mean, I think that, so when you start with, so one of the other things in the book is looking at your own implicit bias and starting to reflect on what you're bringing to the table as a parent. That's the thing that hits like right at the toddler phase. They all of a sudden are autonomous and they have different needs and wants than we expect. So we have to kind of adjust to that, to like, oh, wait, you're not this like baby that I get to put all of my beliefs and thoughts and ideas on. Like, you're this little human. And with a toddler, it's us that we need to, it's our language that we need to change and need to adjust. And they are constantly absorbing that. So I think that once we hit the toddler stage, that's when you really start need to put into practice these personal growth items, especially with like behavior.
It sounds almost like you're expecting that through practice, through changing our language, that you can nurture the executive functioning of a toddler.
Yeah, 100%.
I think some of us might be revelatory for some of us that think that our toddler could have a form of executive functioning when they're just so full of emotions. So let's talk about, your book has some powerful ideas. So for example, you talk about mental shifts. I think your book says, are you the adult you want your child to grow up to be? So you're saying we have to model behavior that they're going to learn from, and over time, their executive functioning is going to hopefully mirror good, healthy interpersonal relationships.
So in so many ways, yeah. Are you the adult that you want your child to grow up to be? That's such a beautiful Brené Brown quote. She's so brilliant. I quote her quite a bit in this book because I just love her. Yes. So your kids are learning by you modeling. And starting with the toddler, actually executive function on a chart, you can see it like from, I think it's like 2 to 6, it's exponential. And so they are absorbing all of these ways that we can do that. And you can teach them explicitly. So I talk a lot in the book about explicit ways to practice executive function skills, but also in the way we ask them questions, in the way we talk to them about their days. All of that is a part of it.
Okay. I want to quote a few things from your book because I think they're interesting. Potty training doesn't end your experience with excrement. Tantrums are just really big emotions. Separating a behavior versus a person. You are bad versus you did a bad thing. Right. She mean versus she said a mean thing. Not all brains are the same. In our language and our thoughts, putting space between actions, conditions, or circumstances and the person. So it sounds like you did a lot of study into the development and psychology of toddlers. What unique, complicated, emotionally rich creatures they are.
Yeah, they are. Well, the reason that it does require all this personal growth and these mental shifts is because they're very triggering. Like, you have a kid that takes this beautiful meal that you prepared for your them when you were exhausted out of your mind because they were kicking you in the back the whole night, and they throw it at you. Like, that's hard to not get really, really angry. And so that's like, oh, okay. They're a toddler. I'm an adult. And like, what are they looking for right now? Like, they're looking for power. They want power. That's why they're upset about this. And so I think the more that you understand why things are happening, like the tantrums just equal big behavior. The second I started processing that, I didn't get as triggered. I could see it and I'd be like, okay, all right, we're going to start employing our things. And it's just having those little mental shifts help you to kind of process through all of their big stuff that they're bringing to the table more effortlessly and with better outcomes.
Well, okay. So you've written two books now, all focused on the process of everything from pregnancy through the toddler years. And they're very expansive, all done in visual Instagram type messaging in some way. What are a couple things that you learned in this process in raising toddlers, besides what we've talked about, that you think our parent guests might benefit from?
What have I learned in the process of creating the book or just in raising toddlers?
Well, they're kind of both, because in order to write these books, you've had to raise toddlers and do some research. So I'm wondering if there's something that you thought, this was really important for me to learn and for me to share.
So I didn't know about executive function skills. That was a big one. And so when I first saw it on the Center for Developing Child, the Harvard Education Center, and they have tons of information on that and then tons of information on the statistics on why it's so important. And my daughter really, really struggled with tantrums and executive function stuff. So if you like asked her to help do the laundry, it would be a big nightmare. So instead, breaking it down into smaller pieces and kind of modeling how to start creating a plan, which is one of the skills, that was really, really helpful for me. Another thing that I didn't know was resilience is something that can be encouraged and taught. And I thought that that was really, really special, that there are things that we can do every day, just praising the process, talking about a growth mindset, saying, okay, we haven't done it yet, but we're still working on it. That word yet is a really powerful part of building resilience in kiddos. So yeah, that you can actually contribute to them being better people is really neat.
Yeah, that is a unique opportunity that we have as parents, is to really think that we are helping to nurture a unique person. There's no other person like this who's ever lived, whoever will live, who currently lives. This is a complete individual, has their own gifts and their own attributes and their own contributions to the world. And we have that special, unique opportunity to raise them. And hopefully, while we're going to screw it up periodically, hopefully we're going to keep learning and be better at it. So let's talk about, it is hard work. So how do you prioritize our own well-being in raising toddlers who are throwing food at us and taking their diaper and smearing poo on the wall?
Right. How do you? So I've got a lot of things in the book on how to remain calm and forgiving yourself when you don't, because you're not always going to remain calm. And that's okay. It's all like you're learning while they're learning. Like they are very triggering. It's going to bring up some emotions. It's going to bring up memories. It's going to bring up things that maybe you don't want to face yet. And I think that staying calm is really, really helpful. And the only way you can do that is if you are taking a little bit of like space and time for yourself and doing that very intentionally. So I'm really lucky. I have a partner who can help me out a lot and take those breaks. I have a mom and his mom. So we're really lucky that we're able to take breaks, but really prioritizing yourself and your own well-being, even if it sometimes doesn't feel like the right thing to do, to to carry for, especially as moms. I know it's hard for us to take that time to fill our own cup, but it's absolutely essential. You can't do the patients with the poop smear on the wall. You are going to explode more often if you haven't just at least taken a shower and spent a little time to yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Let's end this podcast with just a certain focus. So you refer to level up parenting. You know, we've got to level up. So we've talked about a lot of things, but what can you leave us with that we can work on this week as an audience? We're going to level up our parenting this week, or maybe this month. We're going to set a goal to do something. What is that goal?
Level up our parenting. Okay. So for a toddler, you've got a toddler and you want to level up. So one, I would say take a break this week for you. Get yourself some time. And then two, maybe think a little bit about dehumanizing language and places where we might be using that, and we can try to avoid it or rephrase it. Mm-hmm. So that would be my two big ones.
Okay, that's really, and it's so needed right now, particularly as if our toddlers are watching television with us and the news, they might hear things that dehumanize other people. So we want to center ourselves by making sure we can take some time to meditate, to contemplate, just to take care of ourselves. And second, let's focus on identifying and changing any language that might dehumanize another person. And that will help us be the kind of person that we want our children to grow up to be, and help them model that language. Oh, very helpful. Well, so Liz, thanks so much for joining us today. Author of Raising Tiny Humans and You Got This Mama. Two books that are available wherever books are sold, and of course on Feminist.com. Now, it's always a pleasure to speak with you and excited for your new ideas, but where can our guests find you online?
So I am on Instagram at Liz Swenson BFF and TikTok at Liz Swenson BFF. And then I have a website, LizSwenson.org.
Great. And people can explore your journey as you work to be the parent or be the person that you want your children to grow up to be.
I am a work in progress every day.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all? I just, in closing about Valentine's, my wife will tell people when they ask us how long we've been married, and I say, she says 34 years. She says, I choose to love him every day. And I respond, which means that I'm only as good as my last day. So I have to keep working at it. We're a work in process. Well, as we conclude today's podcast, I'd like to thank Familias for their support in bringing the podcast to your ears and your heart. We'd be thrilled if you subscribed to the podcast and left us a review. And when you're ready for that next amazing book adventure, we'd be honored if you chose a book from Familias Publishing. One step at a time, one toddler at a time, one newborn baby at a time, we can make the world a happier place.